You've extracted a framework out of Kerbly, and well, I'm assuming the same code, but exact same code base. You just said, "Hey, let's point it at uncooped," and then you said, "Hey, what's an easier way to do this? Extract the whole thing and open source it."
Yeah, basically, what happened was, you know, when I wanted to launch uncooped, I figured almost all of the requirements were the same as they were for Kerbly. So at that point, I decided that I didn't want to be writing another social network. So I just
redraw the database schema.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't want to just do copy and paste either. So I extracted basically everything that runs Kerbly into a plugin using the Engines plugin, which allows you to reuse controller and view code in a plugin.
Interesting.
So I used that for Uncooped, and then I used it for a couple other sites.
Is Teacherly?
Teacherly is running on the same code. And so right now they're all running on the latest version of the plugin code. And then I also have, and then I also did one client site the same way as kind of a test, you know, like, will this work? Initially, I sort of had thoughts about licensing the plugin or selling it or something like that.
And you thought, well, I'm just one man.
Yeah, you know, it's not that it wouldn't have worked. It's just that I don't have a lot of the resources to throw behind selling something. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm more of a developer.
Right.
So you would need, if you had somebody to like help you sell and market and bill and all that kind of support, all those sorts of things. But
oh, so then you've just increased the price that you're asking for.
Yeah,
as well.
And for me, it's too much for me to do by myself. And like you said, you know, you could do it, but you'd have to ask a lot more. And I really got the sense that there isn't that much value. Like, I think the plugin itself is really valuable, but I don't think it's worth $30,000 to anybody.
Right.
And there are already people out there trying to sell, you know, white label social networks for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000.
Right.
To me, it just seems like, I know from experience, you could build one in Rails for a lot less than that.
Right.
So it just didn't make sense to try to, like, charge this a price that would make that would justify all the work that you would need to do, because I didn't think anybody would really want to buy it.
Gotcha.
You know, because there are places like Kick Apps and Social Spring and, you know, Ning and all these other guys throwing a lot of resources and money behind doing basically white label social networking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't go up against those guys, or I didn't want to.
Yeah.
So I figured it would make a lot more sense to open source it.
Right.
So that's what I did this year.
So, do you see apps that would have your community engine as part of their offering, or is it one of these things where I download the plugin, I turn the thing on, all of a sudden I have the whole of the app, or do you see it being?
It's actually kind of both.
Okay.
So, if you download Community Engine and install it, you have a complete app. And you can see that running on the demo app, the communityengine.missingmethod.com. So that's like a complete functioning app with user login, blogs, friendship requests, you know, everything you can, all the basic sort of social networking stuff.
Right.
But the cool thing about the way Community Engine is built is that it also works as a plugin.
Mm-hmm.
So if you already have an application, you know, that does something else, and you want to add some of this stuff into it.
Like the blogs, the...
Yeah, like you want to add blogs, user profiles, forums, friendship requests, clippings, stuff like that. Then you can just download Community Engine, integrate it with your app, which is pretty easy to do because it's a plugin. And now you've got all of that extra functionality plus what you already had in your app.
Are we talking separate database? Can I... You write a... plug
no.
the databases together?
Same database,
okay.
Different tables.
Okay.
There are some integration issues. Like, for example, you know, if you already have a users table and a user model, you're going to have to figure out how to, you know, mesh that with the Community Engine one.
Right.
But for the most part, the namespaces should be pretty separate. And that's something that maybe down the road will change, maybe like by namespacing most of what's in Community Engine so that we won't have the likelihood that it will conflict with you know, somebody's existing, like, you know, because Community Engine has like a model called Post, which is used for the blogs, and, you know, if you already have something called Post, you're going to have some issues with you know,
so
duplicated
you've
names.
You've got a fence making application or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, you know, that's not a huge problem.
Right.
I think the most likely use case for Community Engine is going to be people who are starting from scratch.
Right.
I don't see a lot of people who have like a complete app being like, oh, we just want to add this. It's possible, but I think more likely it's going to be people starting from scratch who want, who know they want social networking, but maybe also want something else, right. You know. So by starting with Community Engine, they already have the user model, they already have login, they have all this stuff, and then they can just go ahead and add their own stuff on top of that.
Right.
You know, the other cool thing is that Community Engine comes with a pretty nice looking default look and feel. I worked with a designer in Argentina named Andres Galant, who did a really cool skin for it. So the nice thing about that is that you also get that default CSS, mm-hmm. you know, icons, buttons, stuff like
right.
that, which you can use in your own app too.
Right. Some place to start.
Yeah, it gives you a nice starting point, sort of a framework.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's pretty different in that sense from other social networking or open source social networking things in Rails. So there's the other two are in Soshi and Loved by Less. Those are
right.
the main. There are actually a couple more, but those are the well-known ones. And the big difference is that those are written as complete apps, whereas Community Engine is written to be a plugin. Mm. So like if you download in Soshi, you do get the complete application, but if you want to start customizing things, you're going to have to track changes between your code and in Soshi's code. Community Engine actually also comes with a theme support, so you can actually there's a default another alternative theme included. So you actually get
just
the
like
ability,
a WordPress does.
Yeah, to like just drop in a theme and have the whole application look different. So ideally, in the future, you know, I'll have hopefully developers will write additional themes that sort of make the application behave in different ways, because the difference between like Community Engine theme and like a WordPress theme is that Community Engine theme it's not just the look and feel, it's also you can actually modify the functionality
gotcha.
That you're getting. So I envision somebody doing like a theme that makes it act more like a social network, a theme that makes it act more like a blog, you know, a theme that makes it act more like a, you know, group blog,
right.
so that you can kind of pick and choose, or a newspaper, stuff like that. So
cool. And tell me about the traction it's picked up since you've open sourced it.
It's been great. I've been it's been better than I expected,
yeah.
actually, because I have done very, very little publicity. You know, this is probably the most the biggest thing I've done so far. You know, I've written about it on my blog, and it got picked up on like Ruby Inside.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been great. There's a ton of people tracking the source on GitHub. GitHub has been awesome. There's been a lot of people forking it. I've had a ton of contributions from developers
wow.
all over. In fact, the latest thing that just came out in the latest version is localization
right.
support. So you know, now it's got complete support for internationalization,
mm-hmm.
and that was a feature that was contributed by another developer, which was really cool mm-hmm. for me. This being like the first sort of big open source project that I've done. You know, in terms of people using it, there are actually a couple people using it in production already. There's a Russian site. I don't really know what it's about because it's in Russian, but
good thing you had localization support on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a guy in Russia using it. There's a guy in Alabama who's running like the libertarian, you know, social network of Alabama using Community Engine. So it's pretty
nice.
Fun for me because, like, you know, I just put it out there hoping people would find it cool and useful. And
right.
it's cool to see people doing things you never expected them to do. I've gotten tons and tons of inquiries from people about it. Who are you know, kind of trying to make up their mind between these different options, you know, because I think people are getting to the point where nobody wants to write another social network, and they know that there are some pretty good options out there, and Soshi is great, Loved by Less is good. So I've gotten a lot of inquiries from people. Unfortunately, some of them have decided to go with Community Engine. I know there's a big project starting up now in Denmark
wow.
that they're going to be using it. So, and that's great for that's the main thing I'm trying to foster, because I know when I look at any new, at using any open source product, like
right.
the first thing I look at is how, you know, what's the developer community like?
Right.
How many people are using this thing? You know, how many commits are there in the last week?
Show me some samples of production.
Yeah,
site.
Show me that people are using this and that, you know, because otherwise you're on your own.
Right.
You know, I want to see that people are using it, that there's somebody maintaining it, and that person will answer questions on the list, that they're fixing bugs. You know, I don't mind if an open source, you know, software, piece of software has bugs or, you know, is a little rough.
Mm-hmm.
What I care about is that when I send an email to the list, there are people who are going to answer.
Right.
And that when I file a bug, you know, it's going to get fixed, that sort of thing.
Right.
So I'm trying to be really good about that. I'm spending a lot of time, actually, unpaid time, answering questions on the list and trying to, you know, fixing bugs and just making sure my presence is felt out there so people know that, you know, I'm behind this thing and I'm it's not just like I put it out there and now I'm forgetting about it, because that happens a lot.
Right.
So.
And the benefit, I assume, for you is you've got a stronger project, but you then become the community engine guy.
Right.
Somebody says, I want to create one of these things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's definitely, you know, people ask, especially my family ask me a lot, why are you doing this? You know, why are you giving, because it's a lot of time. I mean, you're talking about thousands of hours of work that went into actually building Community Engine,
right.
You know, and then all my time now doing all the things I just mentioned. So it's a lot of time, and people wonder, like, why do you do that?
Right.
But I think it's the same as a lot of open source software. You know, firstly, yeah, it's good for me. You know, there's no doubt that it's good for me. It's good for my reputation as a developer. It's good for my skills as a developer. You know, I keep my skills sharp.
There's something in there about having another developer take a look at your code, see
right.
bug fixes.
Right.
And you know, that's probably one of the fastest way to learn how to become a better developer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. I would say to anybody who is a developer or, you know, starting to be a developer, working on an open source project is a really great way to just sharpen your skills, because you just have to meet a different standard when other people are looking at your code, you know, you making sure you're writing tests, all that kind of stuff. So there's a benefit for me in terms of, you know, my skills and my reputation. Also, the bigger benefit is that the code base gets stronger.
Right.
Because, you know, one of the main things I do is run Kerbly.com and Uncooped and Teacherly. And these are the sites that actually I make my living off of right now. And so for me to have other people contributing patches, fixing the code, making it better, you know, contributing localization, it's like free development work for me.
Right.
And that's really invaluable. I mean, you know, I can now launch a Kerbly in Spanish site, which I've been wanting to do for a long time. You know, now I can do that a lot more easily.
Right.
So there's a big benefit there in terms of, you know, people. It's like I get free upkeep and development on my code if I can get people to, you know, get on the bandwagon and contribute and stuff like that. So, you know, beyond that though, that's just like any open source project. It just feels good to give away something that people like.
Right.
In my case, I wasn't. I don't think I was going to be making money off of selling Community Engine, or I wasn't that interested in doing that. So, the next best thing, I think, is to see people using it and benefiting from it and enjoying it and stuff like that. So,
right.
You know, another thing I just thought of that I should point out is that Community Engine is, because it's based so directly on Kerbly.
Right.
Is a little different from what you normally think of when you think of like a social network.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not modeled after like MySpace or Facebook. It's modeled after Kerbly, and Kerbly is a group blog essentially,
right.
With social networking features included. So what you get with Community Engine, which is a little different than some of the other things out there, is something that's more targeted towards content publishing.
Right.
You know, you're going to get a front page that shows blog posts. You have categories, you have tagging.
High-level categories that go across all posts by all users.
Right, exactly. And so it's not as strong on things like, you know, there's no poking like on Facebook or, you know, there's friendship requests, but the friendship piece isn't as, you know, developed as the blogging piece. It's definitely slanted towards being sort of a social blog or a community magazine.
You want to get... You have a bunch of people. You all have a common interest.
Exactly.
Let's
and you
all
talk
publish
about it.
Here about
right.
this stuff.
Right. Yeah. And actually, even more to that point, it even has some of the business stuff built in. Like, for example, like for Kerbly has some paid writers in addition to user-generated content. And so to do that, you know, there's like a statistics dashboard for each writer built into Community Engine. So you can see how much that writer has written that month and, in my case, how much you want to pay them. There's an advertising module built in so that you can insert ads into your templates. All this stuff basically that I use to run Kerbly and Uncooped and make money off these sites is built into Community Engine. Mm-hmm. So one thing I've actually thought about too is at some point open sourcing some of the business process. So,
okay.
you know, getting away from code and just, you know, looking at, you know, how do you run a niche community blog or magazine and make money off of it, right, using Community Engine.
Right.
I think
I smell an O'Reilly book.
Exactly, almost a book, really, or like a, you know, a PDF book or something. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm probably way too lazy to write
that
a whole book.
You could sell for $30,000 to Forrester.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that would be cool because, you know, my sort of dream or whatever for Community Engine is I'd like to see people who have a passion in a particular niche take it and, you
right.
know, turn it into what I've done with Curbly and, you right. know, make money off of it. You know, that's the best thing. So, you know, that's on my list of to-dos. We'll see when it gets done. What else?
You were well coached. This we've
covered
everything.
It all.
Yeah, I think we've
covered
it all.
I'm trying to think if I'm
and we're approaching 20 minutes, which is exactly where I wanted it to be.
Okay, so. Yeah, I don't think I'm, you know, other than that.
So this is what your day is filled with Curbly. I mean, or Community Engine.
Yeah, I mean, I do at this point I do some freelance contracting still, but less and less.
Right.
So mainly I work on Curbly, Uncooped, Teacherly. Those are my business sites, I guess,
right.
And then Community Engine,
mm-hmm.
some other coding that I do, any random ideas that I get
right.
throughout the day. But
and
yeah.
I'm going to make an assumption here is that you're interested in projects that you'd be more interested in a freelance project that uses Community Engine than one that doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm probably looking at getting some new freelance contracts for the fall and.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, I'll try to make one, try to pick one up that's Community Engine based.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it makes sense. You know, all my time, you know, I'm spending so much time on it now.
Right.
Why deviate
right.
strongly from that? I'd love to see more people getting paid to do Community Engine development. That's why I'm working so hard to foster the list, you know, on the Google group. Because I want people to be able to, like, look at this thing and, you know, business people and say, well, we want to build a site using this. Are there any developers who can do this? And I want the answer to be yeah.
Yes.
So I want there to be people out there who know the code and are experienced with the code and
mm-hmm.
are confident getting paid to work with it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'll probably be dedicating more and more time to that. There's actually a ton of work to be done. So
if
you're listening,
the first 90% is done.
We got
to work on the second 90%.
I mean, there's tons of documentation that needs to happen. I mean, there's just not very much right now. Lots of refactoring, bug fixing, really marketing stuff like building a stronger web presence. I actually just had somebody last week.
It looks pretty nice, though. I was checking it out. I was
thank you.
Pretty pleased at it.
Yeah, it helps to have a good designer around. Know a good designer. That's Andres, just another plug to him. But last week I had somebody, John Wells is his name. He told me he'd donate the communityengine.org domain name, which
nice.
He owns.
Nice.
So that was really cool. So I'll probably be working on that this week and getting that transferred over and building up that site. I think that's a place where I'm at a disadvantage a bit with like InSoci because they're funded by Y Combinator.
Right.
So they, you know, I think they have a couple guys over there working and. I think they've had more time and more money to build out their presence a little more.
Yep.
So I'm playing a little bit of catch up, but I think there's plenty of room. There's room for more than one of these things. You know, I think InSoci's awesome. I've played around with it and stolen ideas from them when appropriate. So I think there's room in the ecosystem for several
sure.
of these.
Sure. About positioning, right, and clarifying what Community Engine is best for and what some of these other ones are better for.
Yeah,
sure.
And you know they're different. You know, they do slightly different things. They, you know, they're coded differently. There's different conventions. Community Engine is using HAML and they're not. So, at least as far as I know. So, you know, I think that's good because different people have different development styles and
right.
some people are going to like that and some people are going to like the other thing. So yeah, I think it's going well and hopefully adoption will keep picking up.
So what do you see as so you've got a handful of these sites that are running this plugin. What do you see as the challenge to making one of these sites, one of these installs successful?
for somebody other than me, right?
Right.
Not for me.
Right.
It's really not
a... lessons you've learned from getting Curbly and Uncooped off the ground.
Well, I mean, those lessons are really not that... they're not really technical things. It's not like coding. I mean, Community Engine gives you so much of it that from a technical point of view, that, you know, the only things that you'll probably deal with are maybe some scaling issues, caching, stuff like that. But really, you're talking more about building an audience. How do you build an audience? And a lot of that is how do you build good content. So, you know, I mean, I could talk for a long time about lessons I've learned from Curbly, but it's all the little things that go into building a community, you know, making sure you have good content, having a personality, having a voice, having an angle to your community that's different from, like, everything else out there.
So is that something that... so you as the... My assumption is you're the point person. You're the voice of Curbly.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are several other people that work on Curbly that add to that. But you know, I guess I sort of set the tone, and they sort of have helped build that as well. But I would say for somebody new, you know, somebody who like is interested in knitting and wants to start a Community Engine site on knitting. Well, this is where that PDF book would come in, but you know, you need good content. You have to be passionate about what you're writing about. You have to care about it. You have to participate. You have to, you know, interact with users. You can't just like put your site out there and expect people to come to it. So, you know, you have to promote yourself. You have to, you know, send out the link to other people's blogs and comment on other people's blogs.
Let's dig into that first point there. That was the one that it seems the most curious to me. So getting, Not that you need valuable information, entertaining stuff, but it seems somewhat contradictory that, so Curbly is an open, and I could sign up and I could start writing for them now. You've got a handful of paid writers, but I think the same thing sort of applies, right? How do you determine good when it's wide open?
I mean, I think the secret about these things that people don't always think about is that, like, most likely what's going to happen is you're going to, you know, design and code your knitting community and get super excited about it and put it out there, and then no one's going to post anything.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's kind of sad, but that's just the truth. It'll take a while, and it took a while for Curbly before you really develop interaction and people actually doing things on your community. So at the beginning, it's not like people are just going to come running towards you, and because people don't just give away, you know, value. Mm-hmm. So you have to encourage that. You know, one thing that worked really well for Curbly is paying for content. There are a lot of really great, smart people out there who know about whatever niche you're interested in and are probably willing to write about it. The costs aren't as high as you might think. Especially because a lot of these people are maybe doing this as a hobby or on the side or something. So having that initial content there is really important. If you have that there, it's more likely that, you know, the 10th and 30th and 50th person who comes is going to be more likely to sign up and maybe write a post of their own. Because if they come and there's nothing, or if they come and there's not much there, it's unlikely that they're going to just go crazy for your community.
Right.
But it's a process. You also have to be pretty patient. You can't just expect it to happen overnight. It takes a while. You know, over a period of months, you'll build up more and more people, and if you stick with it, they'll start, you know, contributing and interacting, and that's where you really start getting a rewarding sort of sense, because you see that people are like, you know, somebody like on Curbly, like, oh, how do I fix my toilet, and somebody else responds, and that's where it feels really good. So,
nice. Thanks, Bruno.
You're welcome.